Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
How you doing?
Jarrad Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown Titans.
College football national champion.
Jarrad Payton, one of my favorite teammates because he knew exactly what it was to be great. And we needed guys like him where Walter Payton was his dad. He lived under that shadow. When it was his time to step up, he did.
Sports anchor for WGN.
Yesterday, I had a conversation with Mike Greenberg yesterday. And we were just talking. It was just interesting to me to hear his perspective of where he thinks Caleb's going to be and just the people that he's around. He thinks by the time we get to Thanksgiving, that people will be sitting around their tables at Thanksgiving talking about that we have the quarterback for the future. Like he's here. Like we see it now. So I just want people in their mind to think about that as we, you know, get up to our court towards Turkey Day.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Where's the turkey?
The Jarrad Payton Show today. Jarrad Payton with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with Jarrad Payton. He loves talking about the Bears. You can check him out on Channel 9. You can check him out anything NFL, covering it and being around the league. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino. Have we told you that we're going to Circa? You should go too. CircaLasVegas.com. What's up, JP?
Lawrence Speaks. What's going on? Hey, listen, I know you guys are headed to the airport. I can meet you there. So
come on through.
You know what I'm saying? I'll roll with you. I know, especially for Speaks, you probably need security with all, you know, trying to fight off all the ladies at Stadium Swim. I could be that guy for you.
Thank you, Jarrad. That's selfless of you, man. I appreciate that. What are you playing? If we're in Vegas, what table game or machine are you playing?
I'm at the sports book, man. I'm not going anywhere. Like, you do, I don't need to go anywhere. I don't even need to be by the pool. I'll watch some games. That's all I need to do. I'm not a really big like card guy or I just like to gamble on sports.
And Jarrad likes to be in the scene. Like, he would be a star at Stadium Swim. Like, an absolute star.
I don't like when my security people are stars, you know? I mean, I'd like them to keep a low profile, take care of me.
He was just saying that to get on the plane, man. once JP gets off the plane, it's all bets off. Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for this weekend. You guys should have a great time, and I'll be listening to you guys while you're out there and watching all your social media posts as well.
It's going to be crazy to have that many Bears fans out there. Some of the reports out there are that it might be 50-50 in the stadium.
I think that is accurate. Bears fans travel.
Yes.
And they definitely travel west. Plus, you have all of the transplanted Chicagoans who live in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm,
and the folks that are nearby. They're like, oh, it's a 45-minute flight from Phoenix? Bet. I'm going to go see the Bears because here's my one opportunity this year to go see them.
Yeah.
Or the ones that live in California. Like, this is – the Bears fans can turn this into a home game if they want.
Can't they, Jarrad?
Yeah, they definitely can. I mean, I was talking about that with some people the other day about how well Bears fans travel. And, man, it's a testament to the love of this organization. And you see where all the people are around the country. But, you know, Lawrence, you were talking about just being in Arizona. That's like mini Chicago to me anywhere. I got family out there. Anytime that I roll around, people out there just bear down everywhere you go. So, yeah, this is an opportunity. And just to take advantage of getting back to 500 before the bye.
How did you feel about last week? Because it seems like everyone, you know how it is, Jared, when the Bears win, things are good. Like the city just feels better overall. But seeing all of the things that Caleb Williams is capable of doing play out on the field last week was a lot of fun for me. What was it like for you?
It was cool to be able to watch my favorite team win and play good football. And I feel the pressure just because of, you know, the last name and just my relationship with the organization. And you guys know, I tell you this all the time, everywhere I go around this city, it's the conversation that I'm always having. It's talking about Bears. It's the first thing that people want to talk about. So it's sometimes it's rough. You want to be able to glow about your team and talk, say nice things about your team and enjoy, you know, and celebrate with others. And so that's what it felt like for me. And just, you know, that Monday morning, my daughter waking up and she's looking at me. She's like, oh, my gosh, my teacher said that if the Bears win, she's going to wear her Peyton jersey. So I'm going to wear mine. And so just to see my daughter in her Peyton jersey, it just was like, this is what it's all about. I need more of this. And plus also waking up too and just in the morning and watching that video of Ben Johnson inside the locker room with those guys inside there, just excited for him, Caleb tossing him the ball and how excited everybody was. Those are the moments that I'm looking forward to in the future. And yeah, I had my head in the Kool-Aid that day, but because I want more of those moments. I want to feel that. I want to see that. I want that to be something common and regular for this city and this organization. So I was happy to see Caleb play well. And I know how tough it is for him on a daily basis where a lot of focus is on him. And that it was the game of saying, this is what we're hoping to see between the relationship with him and Ben Johnson as well, that he's starting to understand. He's starting to get it just a little bit more.
Jared Payton, thank you for that image of Walter Payton's granddaughter waking up and putting on her Payton jersey the day after that win. Like, that is, because we've been talking about how much better the vibe is in this city when they're good, or even just when they win, like the high fives you get, the smiles, like all the togetherness, and you just added that image to the mix. That's gorgeous.
I meant to text you, JP, on this because I was getting some stuff framed yesterday. And I walk into the place that's framing up some stuff for me. And as I was walking out, I was like, hey, someone's getting a Peyton jersey framed at this frame-up store. And I was like, that's old school. And the guy was like, yeah, this guy, whoever was going to do it was super happy. And I'm like, look at this.
Yeah. That's what happens. What were you going to add to it, Jared?
I was just going to add to it that it's special. It's also like walking around and people giving me free, like, blueberry muffins. Like, I get free stuff when the Bears win. You know? I look forward to it. I look forward to the free stuff, man. I'm here for it, you know? An extra drink at my coffee spot. Oh, yeah. Happy Bears Monday. Here you go. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Look at that. Bears helping with goodwill and commerce. Maybe taking a little bit of a hit, but that's all right. Jared Payton with his... All right, so you talked about that coach moment post game that had an impact on us too. Which coach that you had was hardest on you in a way that benefited you? Because I'm trying to think about that relationship that hopefully Caleb and Ben have.
Oh man, it's definitely Don Solinger, my running backs coach at the University of Miami. I mean, he was rough, and you guys, you know, before I got there, he had Edgerrin James, who he coached. And then it was James Jackson, who was there when I got there. And then Portis and I came in together. And then it was Willis that came in the next year. And then it was Frank that came in. So we were all there. And so it was tough fighting for a spot and fighting for time. And he just did not let you slip. And as much as you, you know, were coming from the place that, you know, wherever you were from, then you were a 5-star, 4-star, whatever, he just was like, no, you can always do better. And even just the little things, from the way that you study to how much you're studying. And I think that relationship between Ben and Caleb is so crucial. And I think Caleb needs that in his life. He needs that, especially in when we're talking about playing in the NFL. I think we saw it a lot last year and through all the reports, right, where he was really kind of in some ways teaching himself, not having the right coaching around him. Ben's had to kind of reprogram him and take stuff out that so he can build him up to what he wants him to be and what Caleb wants to be too. Caleb came in talking about all the championships he wants to win. There's a way of going about that. And I think on Sunday, that's when I was starting to see is him looking calmer inside the pocket. Everybody's talking about his feet, and that's one of the first things that I look at with him is, are his feet set? Are they underneath him? Are they quiet in some ways when he drops back? And is he on point in his three-step, five-step, seven-step drop, whatever it is? And then being able to get the ball out on time. And I think that's what we're seeing. But I think it all starts from getting the call in the huddle and giving himself some time to be able to get up to that line and be able to dissect, call out the mic, figure out what he wants to do. And I think that has kind of calmed him down and slowed that clock inside of him down as well. And so that's what I love seeing from him. And yeah, there are some he's inaccurate sometimes, but every quarterback is, and I know people want him to be on point all the time. That's just not reality, just because of what he's seeing sometimes. But to see that performance and how he distributed the ball to, all these different receivers on the football field on Sunday, that's a really good problem to have. And I think that's what we're starting to see. We know he can get outside and create when he needs to. It's playing within the pocket that I think Ben Johnson is really honing in on to get him better, because that's only going to make his offense better.
Jared Payton joining us. And if you got the opportunity to be on Twitch, you should be. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, because the background for JP is amazing. And I love it when people are on the show and their backgrounds are just, yeah, that right there, the actual Lombardi trophy being in the background to Jared Payton is a pretty dope thing to have. So twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. JP, correct me if I'm wrong. In 2003, didn't you guys have a crazy long drive with you sealing it against Florida State? Because that drive that the Bears had, that 19-play drive that the Bears had on Sunday, we've been talking about it a lot. For someone that's been involved in stuff like that, what does it do to a defense when an offense can just say, hey, we're going to keep running the rock and we're going to wear you down?
Come on, Lawrence. Why you playing at my heartstrings right here, my brother? Yeah, it was. I was in a situation 2003 at Doak Campbell on as that monsoon game. It was my first start and had a chance to score on a screenplay. And it breaks the defense's back, especially when you can run the football and control the game on the ground. And I think just watching Ben play call and find ways to maybe not get those explosive plays on the ground, but to stay with the run on that drive was impressive to me. Because I've always been accustomed to seeing here in Chicago with different regimes, different coaches, where it's like, it's not working. We're going to get away from this. We're going to throw a bubble screen. We'll throw a bubble screen. Let's figure that out. Well, no, like you have to commit to it. And that's on that drive. It showed me that he was like, yo, we are going to run this thing down your throat and we're going to keep pressing and we're going to find a way to score at the end. And to me, super impressive. I told Mullion Hall Tuesday morning, I had a tear in my eye because it was exactly what I want to see from this offense. And they got to find a way to get better at running the football. And they know. They've been talking about that as well. And to me, it comes down to watching the tape. There are some, as you see with some of these blocking, some of the fits, there are everybody's got to be on point and running the football. And they got to find a way where it's here or there, where there's a missed block here. And then next thing you know, DeAndre Swift's getting, hit in the backfield, which it could have sprung for a bigger run. They're going to have to find a way to be able to watch this film together. Because normally it's like the offensive line watches film by themselves, running backs watch by themselves. If it was me, I would have everyone together to figure this thing out. Offensive line and running backs together to come up with some plan to figure out how we can be more effective. Because I believe in my heart that this offense will open up another level once they can truly control the ground game. If they can unlock that, there's a whole nother part of this offense that we haven't even been able to see yet.
Jarrett, DeAndre Swift can drive me crazy as a runner sometimes. when he's outside the tackles, it's better, yada, yada. But let's talk about him as a guy who picks up blitzers.
Yes, sir.
How good is he at that? How difficult is that to do?
It's very, very difficult, Speaks, because a lot of guys don't want to do it. They really don't. And that's I think the biggest thing that I look at when it comes to my dad, and I have these conversations when I see on social media when they're always talking about who's the best, who's the best. Well, they always talk about who's the best runner. And I always see all these names being thrown in here. And in my head, I'm going, they can't throw the ball. They can't. You never see them blocking in any of their videos. It is a big thing. You have to commit to understanding pass protection. And it's being in your book. And then that keeps you. That's a big part of being in on third down. Can you be an all-around back and be in the game and not have to come out because you can be counted on to be able to pick up blitzes? And he's not a big dude. And so sometimes it's all more about will and understanding fits and getting in position where you need to be and understanding. And in a game, Speaks, the hardest part sometimes, even for me, learning as a kid who only played, his junior and senior in high school, never played running back, really only one game, and then getting to Miami and have to understand pass protection. It's when everybody's disguising stuff and the mic, you have 60 protection, Mike and Sam, and the Mike looks like he's coming, Sam looks like he's coming, but they don't, they bluff, and that safety's coming from the other side, and it's scan protection. You got to find a way to get up and then get all the way back around to pick up blitzes. So it's always tough. And so I always tip my cap to the guys that really hone in on the little things of getting your hands inside and understanding protections. And you're almost like another offensive lineman. So it's very, very difficult. So I tip my cap to Swift for actually being a big part of that. He does drive you crazy. I understand that. but what makes him special is when he gets outside in space, you guys. I mean, when you see him on a screen pass or you see him on a swing and he can get out there and then he does a little stutter step and then gets those yards, that's where he feels comfortable. And I see why he can be a big part of this offense. They're asking for him they're still trying to search and find ways, because you also, let's not forget about DJ Moore being in the backfield as well, Kyle Manungai being in the backfield. They haven't figured out the recipe yet. Hopefully they're still in the kitchen right now looking at recipes to try to figure out the best one to have success.
What do you think of Vegas, and do you know Pete Carroll?
I do not know Pete Carroll. Never met Pete Carroll, but only heard great things about him through guys that I know that have coached alongside of him. They have nothing but great things to say about him. When I look at this Raiders offense and defense, this is a game that the Bears can win. I don't see why you can't, especially coming off of having the success that you had against the Cowboys. There's no reason why. I think my biggest question mark is Ashton Jeanty, as a rookie, still hasn't had that breakout game. And one of the issues that we know with this Bears defense is stopping the run. I'm just hoping that they can find a way to do that. And this is not the game on Sunday that he has his breakout game against this Bears defense. So if they can find a way to be able to do that, Geno Smith doesn't scare me. He just likes the high volume of throws. I understand that, but it's really stopping the run and making them one-dimensional. If they can do that, I think offensively they'll be fine to be able to score points.
So, Jarrett, would you mind? I mean, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you don't mind, could you reach back and grab that Lombardi trophy?
He did it earlier. He showed it to the people on Twitch.
Well, yeah, when you said it, and I wasn't on Twitch at the time, but now I'm on there, so I guess he doesn't mind. Yeah, it's like, So that's your pops, because every player gets a replica of it. Is that correct? How does that work?
Yeah, each player gets a replica. This is my pops. My pops actually has two of them. So I think between my sister and I, we both have one. But yeah, this is
wow.
I mean, it's heavy too, you guys. I can only imagine what the big one feels like, because this one is like, I mean, if someone came in this house and I hit them with this, it is over. I'm just telling you, it is over.
That would be the coolest murder weapon ever, though, dude.
Like self-defense.
Self-defense.
Not like, murder.
Jared.
Self-defense.
He killed a guy with a Lombardi trophy. How cool is that? I mean, that's badass.
JP, we love you, man. Thank you so much for jumping on and sharing with the people here on Twitch.
Hey, love you guys too, man. Have fun in Vegas. I'll be listening and I'll be watching.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Molly. I love having a weekly chat with you guys as well. Good to be with you.
We should have a cup of tea while we chat, but that's for another day.
You did a great job, Stacy.
Always.
You were in Cleveland for a huge game. I just wonder, the Packers, what happened? Before we get to the Bears stuff, great week in the division, a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. How shocking was that outcome?
Really spectacular week, actually, David. You know, when you watch the Lions on Monday Night Football, and of course, I was at that Cleveland game. I know Bears fans that are listening are going to be very happy because the Packers kind of had a meltdown, and it was a little taste of humble pie, if you will, I think. I think losses like that are really good for teams that are expected to do big things. And so I think it kind of grounded them a little bit. The division is once again everything we expected, like we saw last year, and ultimately a pretty good weekend for the division. I mean, Minnesota looked good with a backup quarterback, and I thought the Bears were especially good on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, it was great to see them win a game, in part because so many of the negatives that you worried about proved positive. In other words, the defense played a lot better than anybody thought they could. They got a great performance from Tyreek Stevenson. Tremaine Edmonds played a lot better than he has played. Some people have been confounded that he can't play better, and he played great. And then you look at, obviously, Caleb and this idea that, you know, is the coach able to improve the quarterback? Can they get better together? It felt positive after that game. I think a lot of questions answered.
Molly, I would argue that, now this is going to sound slightly outlandish, but Ben Johnson was happier that they played their asses off the way that they did than getting the win. I mean, they played so hard, and it's coaching matters, right? When you watch Monday Night Football and you watch the Detroit Lions go into Baltimore and play the way they did after what we saw week one against the Packers, fast forward 2 weeks, coaching matters. And Ben was pissed off that over the course of 2 weeks, essentially in the NFL, the start of the season, they weren't practicing to his, you know, standard. And so they go back last week, and to run a flea flicker the way that they did, that's coaching. Those aren't gimmick plays. Those aren't, you know, we're going to go and run some trickery. Those are things that they actually stressed in practice. Like, this play will work against this defense if we execute it. If you can make the safety look at a different angle or move at a different spot, we can execute this and it will work. And so I feel like, you know, Ben got everything out of, he squeezed everything out of those guys last week, and you saw the results. I mean, it was very impressive, and people might say Dallas isn't a very good team. Dallas is a good team. Dak Prescott is a very good player, and I felt like the Bears actually came out, took coaching, and performed the way they should have.
How much credit are you giving Ben Johnson then in that context if coaching is as important as you say? And I don't disagree, but in terms of the Caleb Williams development, week three, it's early, small sample size, but he's seventh in the league in passer rating. I think he has as many touchdown passes as anybody. It's one of those progress reports that you like to see in week three, but how much of that is Ben Johnson's responsibility?
I think it's also Caleb's responsibility, David. I mean, he's taken this thing by the bull, and I just feel like he cares. I felt like his performance, I mean, it's a two-way street. Like, if you want to be great, you've got to do the work. And I feel like, you know, he ties a career high with four pass touchdowns. I think he was probably extra motivated against Matt Eberflus and their defense. But the details were there. I mean, when you have a 143 passer rating and a, like, 11 pass yards per attempt, I feel like you studied their defense. And you put the effort in during the week, and we saw the results. I am really impressed. I know it's still early, but I feel like Caleb cares, and I feel like that was, you know, I go back to Monday Night Football and the Detroit Lions, and I think about the way Jared Goff executes what he's asked to do. He's got so much skill around him. That offensive line performed their best game against a really good defense in Baltimore, and he executed the game plan. That is what Caleb Williams did, and that's why coaching matters. I think Ben Johnson's pulse on this team is, like, you watch the flea flicker, he doesn't flinch, right? He's not celebrating. He's on to the next play. That is like old school football to me, his ability to get these guys aligned, and I love their celebration in the locker room afterwards.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was.
You know,
can we agree?
Yes, I think it was. I just didn't expect that saying because I hadn't heard it before from Ben Johnson. So it's giggly. It's a little giggly.
Stacey, you know,
David, Molly.
Yep.
That's his first win.
Right.
Like that celebration, if that's what the Bears are in store for, handing out game balls to Tremaine Edmonds and the quarterback, like, that was incredible to me. And again, when you watch teams win in the NFL and you see, you know, Dan Campbell give a game ball to Muhammad and, like, what he did in that game against the Baltimore Ravens, it's special. Winning is an elixir. Listen, you guys mentioned I was in Cleveland. I went into both locker rooms after the game because it's fascinating in the NFL to actually get to do that. And to go into Cleveland's locker room, you would have thought they had just won the Super Bowl. It changes everything. And I feel like for the Bears, it gave them some life.
I would agree with that. I think that, you know, as we've talked about, one of the frustrating things about the Bears is that there hasn't been enough player development, right? We haven't seen enough players come here and get better and improve. And, you know, as a result, you kind of look at some of the drafts, like, what were they thinking and why aren't they taking different players? But I thought out of that game, you know, Cole Kmet played great in that game, had a touchdown in that game. And so your first round pick gets hurt, but there he is. This is a guy that they took before Jalen Johnson back in whatever, 2020. I think he was the 43rd overall pick and Johnson went 50th. And Johnson is a guy that, you know, obviously they're going to figure out if they can get him back before the season ends. He's going to have a surgery on some kind of issue. They haven't explained exactly, some abdominal issue, and hopefully they'll be able to get him a core surgery. Hopefully they'll be able to get him back because they need him pretty desperately. But they also, you know, I mean, while they drafted a tight end that they have high hopes for, the other tight end is also making a move and doing a few things and looks like he's pretty good.
You know, Molly, I love Cole Kmet. Like, I mean, this guy, I mean, Ben has historically called him a unicorn, yep. right? You guys remember that press yep. conference. Yep. You raised such a great point. What he is for me is old reliable.
So when you need a security blanket, who are you going to go to?
I feel like he and Roma Dunze are becoming that, or he's been that really for Caleb.
Even last year, I mean, I think he was his top target,
especially in the red zone. But
I love that the ball went to him. I love that the ball is going to, you know, to see what Rome has done over the course of three games. I do think there's player development there.
You know, like when you watch like Amon-Ra St. Brown with Detroit,
right?
And all the ways that they have used him
as what was he a fourth round pick
fourth
or whatever
round pick.
It was?
Yep.
Yeah, like okay, go play with a chip on your shoulder. And I think that Cole wants the ball. I think that you should throw him the ball. I think that when you have
balance. Like, we saw Luther Burden have his best game, obviously, in a career high over 100 yards. I see player development. I saw an improved offensive line. And I'm an optimist. I'm a glass, you know, half full type person. And I feel like the Bears got better this past weekend, which I think is promising. And I feel like it's going to be an upward trajectory just because of the coach.
I really think Ben Johnson is outstanding, and I've maintained that all along.
What do you think the future holds for DJ Moore? As much as you celebrate, and rightly so, Roma Dunze's emergence, you talk about mm-hmm. the tight ends. They need the ball. Luther Burden had a big game. I do wonder about DJ Moore this year as the highest paid wide receiver in that room. At some point in time, he's got to be a little more involved as well.
Yeah, David, and I think that he will be when push comes to shove. You know, in conversations I've had with the Bears, they really do see him as their Deebo Samuel. He is really a bumper car for them.
I think, you know, as this season gets going and really important football is discussed, I think DJ is going to have an integral role in this offense.
When you have all the skill players that the Bears do,
you have to spread the ball around. And that's what you see. Like
winning teams, it doesn't matter who gets the glory. And I say that, and I've been around players that, you know, I've done post-game interviews with players where they didn't have necessarily the numbers they wanted as superstars in the NFL, and you could feel a little bit of it. But when you win 14, 15 games, that changes everything. That changes your contract. That changes who you are as a leader. That changes your legacy. And I think if the Bears keep winning, DJ Moore will be very happy
in the role that he's given. And especially when football matters, I think the ball will go to him.
Stacey, did any one particular player's performance surprise you? In other words, you know, who was the guy that snuck up on you a little bit in that game and played better than you thought he would?
Tyrique Stevenson, I would say. I was really impressed with four quarters of football from
right.
him. I thought he was really on the details, and you know, that to me, I still think the Bears have a ways to go with the run game, but I love that Ben's calling runs, because it stresses a defense. But I thought Tyreek had a pretty good football game, and I thought just by and large, Molly, the offensive line did a pretty good job. For Caleb to not have a sack for the first time in his career in that game, I give really all the glory to that offensive line.
So Ben Johnson can say the Bears go into Vegas as road underdogs. I'm not sure if that's still true, but when you look at the Raiders, from here they look like a beatable team. I don't think they're playing at a high level. They're not protecting their quarterback. What do you expect Sunday in Vegas?
It's a good question. I think
what I expect is I think the Bears are looking for to put together, David, I'm going to keep it on the Bears. Because I think the Raiders are very talented. I think they're still trying to figure out their system with Pete Carroll and what they're trying to accomplish. But for me, when Ben talked about, like, he's always looking forward, right? When I go back to that last preseason game, he played his starters for a substantial amount of time against the number two Chiefs defense, but he wanted to test them on the road. He wanted to put them through that.
And I think that they're going to go into this thing and it's all about them. Ben wants to figure out who his team is on the road. And I just feel like, now we'll see what Tom Brady shared with the Raiders. Wink, wink. But I feel like it's all about the Bears now. And I go back to the celebration in the locker room. I loved Ben's press conference on Monday. Some of the things he talked about. I don't have to be perfect as a play caller. I do think that's a message to his quarterback, that he has the ability to do a lot of different things. I also loved when he said, we'll do whatever it takes to score. That's on the road to me. We'll do whatever it takes. Figure out what the Raiders are doing and adjust. And I think that the Bears have a lot of confidence in Moxie after that game we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think one of my conclusions from Sunday is thank you, Jerry, for trading Micah Parsons, because that aided them a great deal.
Yeah.
But then we learned Myles Garrett is the guy that the Packers should have traded for.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's ironic, right? Great game. Ironic that both of those guys wanted to be traded, right?
Yeah.
And people forget Myles Garrett wanted to be traded this offseason, and they go ahead and reward him with the highest record-setting contract ever for somebody at his position. And then shortly thereafter, it happens for Micah. He sets a record.
Right.
So I guess the new message is, like, hey, trade me. Get me the money I deserve, and let's go figure this thing out. It was incredible to witness in person Myles Garrett. Like, Micah, to see those two guys on the field, like, not at the same time, but sharing the field, they're going to go down as generational at their positions. And it was really interesting to watch such a defensive battle on Sunday with the Packers, to see Jordan Love kind of have a terrible game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really interesting to watch that.
Stacey, I want to revisit something you said before I let you go. I don't know if I totally agree with it, but I think I'm getting what your point is. When you say the effort level was more satisfying to Ben Johnson than the victory, I don't think you mean it literally, because in the NFL, victories matter more than anything else, and they are the great elixir. But I think, are you talking about big picture-wise, the buy-in that every first-time head coach requires, he finally saw some, and that was as rewarding or more rewarding than the actual outcome?
Because, David, when you do the work, the results just end up happening. So, the win will come if you actually do the work. If you come out flat in the NFL and you're not on the details, and it goes down to the intricate levels of execution. I go back to the flea flicker. DeAndre Swift's toss back was high. I mean, he joked about it.
Oh, yeah.
But it still worked because they stressed it in practice. And now imagine how they run a flea flicker. Now they know what it feels like to score like that. And if you can have those things in your back pocket, like we saw John Morton do on Monday Night Football, we call them trickery, but those things are right down to the wire. Those are special plays that are like stressed on Saturday's walkthrough, on Friday's special, situational football moments with that they go over in practice. And so, David, if you do that work during the week, the results end up being wins. So that's why I say that I think Ben Johnson, if I would guess, would be more happy with the effort that those guys played with and focus on the details during the week than the results, because the results end up being wins if you do all those things. And that's why I say what I say.
Great stuff, Stacey. Appreciate it as always.
Good stuff, Stacey.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
That's Stacey Dales. Great to talk to her.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme.
WBBM-TV, Chicago. Now, Bill Curtis. This is Channel 2 News at 10.
Good evening, our top story.
You are associated with some of the most horrific acts that humanity has ever perpetrated, Bill.
I love them all.
For American justice, I'm Bill Curtis.
Unlike New York, where the Gambinos and other families competed for control, the Chicago outfit was ruled by one family and one godfather. Accardo's power was grounded in fear. John Wayne Gacy led two lives. He dressed up as Pogo the Clown for charitable events and was active in local politics.
While Frank Rosenthal and Tony Spilotro had grown up in the same rough Chicago neighborhood, they were fundamentally different. Lefty knew thugs. Tony was one. The Ant was the first gangster to break the mob rule that said you don't kill people in Vegas.
All hell broke loose. The story of Richard Speck's life. Even etched on his arm, the infamous Born to Raise Hell tattoo, the very instrument of Speck's capture. And in San Diego, one anchor man was more man than the rest. His name was Ron Burgundy. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Ron Burgundy was the balls.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Afternoons on The Score.
Bill Curtis's voice means authority. It means that you are about to learn something. And then later on in his career and life, it meant you were going to have a little bit of fun. And it's great for him to come and visit us here on The Score. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. He's got a new book, From the Eye of the Storm. You got to check it out. You got to see everything that's inside the new book and all about his life. And we appreciate him joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, Bill. This is a treat for me. I am born and raised here in Chicago. So getting the opportunity to pick up the phone and you be on the other end is an absolute joy for me.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes, Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That is the promo of all promos. And it's great. Today, we have the great Layla Rahimi sitting in for Spiegs, which is great because she spent a lot of time on Chicago television as well.
I don't have your voice, Bill. I'm so sorry.
Well, you look great.
Thank you. This is a treat for all of us, just so you are aware.
The new book, it's a memoir, Whirlwind, My Life Reporting the News. Everyone wants to know your story. Why did you feel it was important to write it down?
Well, there are many stories that go into the book over 60 years. Can you believe it? But I wanted to write it down because toward the end of my career, and I say I'm still continuing, I did this little movie called Anchorman. And then, wait, don't tell me, the NPR News Quiz Show. And everybody now knows me as either the stand-up comic or the guy on Anchorman. I said, wait a minute, I had a career before that. So I'm going to tell you all what I did for a living up until a couple of years ago.
I think one of the questions that we always have, especially as people who are former news reporters or TV reporters and the like, you know, the joke, Bill, is don't be the news, which I think we can safely say that has been the case. But you are one of the iconic voices and observers of so many major moments in history, not just here, but American history. When did you decide it was okay to be the news yourself and put it together like this?
Well, when I started putting it together with that idea, I had to start with a tornado, which gave me my first big break. And my first job when I came to Chicago, walked into the BBM newsroom and they said, oh, yeah, we have a story for you. Richard Speck, you're the lawyer. Well, you're going to cover that. So it was Speck, conspiracy trial, Charles Manson, Angela Davis, and in between a few stories like Tokyo Rose and The Cities Are Burning. So it was, for a newsman, a wonderful, wonderful start. Yeah, but that's why. That's why.
When I talk to my friends who work in news, you know, we had the chance to work. Well, Layla's done news, too. But I've worked primarily in sports. And sports is often talked about as the toy department. And I do see the toll that it takes on my friends who work in news, when you do have to go up to the front door of a parent whose child has been killed, or the stories that you covered, a lot of the tragedies that you covered, how did you decompress from that? Was there ever a point where you felt like this is weighing on me, along with weighing on the audience that I serve?
Good question. It was Provo, Utah, and we had kind of a spate of guys jumping out of 727s after they had hijacked the plane. So my assignment was to go up to the wife of in her little Mormon house in Provo, Utah, and I knocked on the door and said, "Oh, my name is Bill Curtis. I'm with CBS News." I have never felt, literally, the wind anywhere from the door slamming in my face. So right away, you don't want to do that a whole lot of time, but it's part of the job. And you realize that it's better looking at who is being helped or hurt or covered than not. So it's part of the job.
Yeah, I think of the question, who pays, who loses, who benefits? What inspired you to get into the news industry to begin with?
I was in Topeka, Kansas, finishing law school, and I had been in radio for 10 years. It was a good part-time job, had a deep voice, and trying to work out my decision on whether to practice law or stay in broadcasting. Now, the network, and all of the networks were not quite mature yet. You know, they were covering the civil rights movement and the war in Vietnam. Nobody told them how to do that, and it was a little shaky. So I chose to be a lawyer and accepted a job in Wichita. And then you know, I asked me to fill in for him on a newscast. He said, "It's 6 o'clock. You know, you've done it. You haven't done it a lot, but because I was a part-time weatherman, an announcer going through college or law school. And so I went out, and the general manager said, "Stick around because we have some high winds coming in." 7 o'clock, I'm standing in front of the camera. I'm 26 years old. And the tornado warning that, you know, never completes, you know, nothing ever happens. The tornado goes up into the air. This time, our two-way radios came in from the cameraman. He said, "I'm on the west side. This is Topeka, town of 150,000, the capital." He said, "We have a tornado on the ground. Just went through a Shetland pony farm. A lot are impaled, you know, on the fence." And I said, "We didn't want to go first. What's the second sighting?" And he said, "Well, it's wiped out the Huntington apartment complex." Well, it was pretty clear it would take an E5, although the rating wasn't even done at that time. So that was absolute truth to me. And I mentally drew a line from the first to the second, and it was headed for downtown, the Capitol building, Washburn University, where I just was, and in between the shopping malls and residential. And I said, "For God's sake, take cover." Well, with that, we were the only ones on the air. All the radio stations, the towers had blown down. We became the emergency communications for the entire city and the Highway Patrol and National Guard. And I realized that, you know, television, radio, broadcasting can save lives. It can be meaningful, and for people, life and death can result. So I said to my job, sorry, not going to be a lawyer. And in 3 months, I had sent my tape out. John Madigan at BBM hired me. I was hauling a U-Haul trailer headed for the Emerald City, Chicago, Illinois. And those five words set me on a path for 60 years in a career from all the stories that I've listed in the book. Houston named some. So,
Bill Curtis joining us here on The Score. You're being serenaded by his voice here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Bill, I live on the South Side, and I routinely get coffee in a building that used to house Muhammad Ali's gym. And I don't live far from where Muhammad Ali used to live in Chicago. And I think there's a lot of people that don't realize Chicago plays a major part in Muhammad Ali's story. I know that you covered a lot that had to do with Muhammad Ali, and you were the person that broke the story on his Parkinson's. I'd love to know what you felt about covering that personality and all of the things that went into Muhammad Ali being Muhammad Ali.
He was my friend. We became friends over the years, and he came down to Channel 2 often. He was the greatest kind, you know, and when he got, when he stopped boxing, he wanted to be the preacher there for Nation of Islam. So I said, you know, the rumor is that he's brain damaged. When I was at CBS News and we had a new show that was going on, why don't you let me profile him? I'll just kind of live with him immersed in that for 3 days and I'll watch. See, you know, if his thumb is shaking, that kind of thing. They said, go for it. So I came out to Chicago, then to Berrien Springs, and we went around the farm, and then to L.A. in the mansion, you know, in old L.A. Went to the mosque, and he's about 2 feet higher than anybody at the mosque, especially when they're kneeling down. And everyone loved him. And then we went to a place where Veronica, his wife, was writing, taking a lesson. And, of course, he's a born showman. He could not, you know, knowing the television camera is on him, he couldn't help himself but to get a horse, jump on the horse. Obviously, he didn't look like he had ridden before, but there he is, bouncing behind Veronica and, you know, getting in her way. And he came off the horse and went over to one that was standing there, and he was kind of showing off for some kids, and he leaned up against his forehead against the horse and said, see, they'll say I'm talking to horses now. He is brain damaged. So he's a guy who one liked to be on. But the payoff came when we came back to Chicago, and Herbert Muhammad, his manager, said, well, I've got a surprise. I've arranged for an exhibition match. He's 3 years away from his last match, an exhibition match in Kalamazoo with the star of basketball in all of Michigan. I said, wow, can he do it? I mean, is he physically? He said, oh, yeah, he's physically. He said, basically, and Dundee chimed in and said, you know, he's bored. And he looks not like the float like a butterfly of old. He's just bored. He needs purpose. Suddenly, I give it him purpose. So we drive 3 hours to Kalamazoo. The minute we walk in the door, the smell of liniment from the boxing environment hit me and hit the champ. The gym rats are in the corners. The young guys were hitting the bag. And he looked around and he said, Bill, this is where I belong. This is my business. and he walks out to change. And when he comes back, he climbs in the ring. I figured, hey, I've got access here. Let's climb in the ring. So my first idea was to get in the ring with him and with the young guy he's going to be punching out. Well, it took me about 10 seconds to say, whoa, this isn't where we want to be. So he goes into the first round, and he is like a different person. He comes alive. He was a boxer. That was his business. And he just changed. I don't want to say he had the killer instinct, but you have to have the killer instinct if you're going to be three-time world champions. And the poor kid, I almost thought about stopping it. But the kid, you know, showed spunk. And they got through the first round, then the second round. And he would come over to the corner and say to me on camera, he said, I'm going to give him a whipping now. And go back and give him a whipping. It was a rare opportunity and for me, you know, can you imagine being there? So afterwards, they were going to say, you know, no brain damage, you can see it. And I said, Herbert, you know, his thumbs twitch. I can't go on the air and say anything, but it's got to be very accurate. And I don't want to be caught, you know, 6 months from now with the doctor saying, well, he's got Parkinson's, because they were very quiet and secretive. And I pushed. And finally, Herbert said, okay, well, I'll have his doctor, I'll give him permission to say that he has Parkinson's syndrome. And with that, the story was broken. I was the first. 6 months later, you know, there were doctors who came forward and said, well, we don't know if it's brain damage, but he does have Parkinson's syndrome. Well, he got hit 175,000 times in sparring primarily. He was clean and, you know, during the matches, you couldn't see that. But you have to, you know, use your sense. He lived a long time. We saw him sort of disintegrate as his body, but I loved him. And he was just the greatest.
That is an incredible story you paint, Bill, and one I think where we can picture what happened, and, you know, knowing our lasting images of him. And there's a lot of learning to be done even in the story you told. For those of us either still in the industry or starting out, what do you think of the news industry as it stands today?
Today, we're in trouble. trouble. And one of the reasons is that, you know, they point to, oh, free speech. They want to target free speech. Well, it's a little more than free speech. ABC, CBS, and NBC have been playing a corporate greed game. They want to sell the networks. They'll get billions of dollars, but the administration has figured out a way to extort by applying pressure to get what they want. And what they want is not the $16 million that ABC paid them. He'll take it. What he wants is what is called a bias monitor. That's the compromise that we think was made with 60 Minutes. So that here you have an administration figure looking at every story that 60 Minutes is doing and saying whether or not it's fair. And, fair, according to MAGA. So the government, for the first time, has its hand in free speech. Free speech, we wrote in, they wrote us in, free press, you know, speech, religion, into the First Amendment of the Constitution. Nobody cares about the Constitution, apparently. So now, you know, you have Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, they jerked him off the air. Now they're going to, Disney pressured them. He want to put him back on because the ratings, you know, criticism was so awful and the ratings will be so high tonight. The problem is the next star and Sinclair, who own 25% of all the stations in the country. They're not going to carry Jimmy Kimmel. Why? They're conservative. You know, they're part of the mega game. So it's going to be a long fight, and maybe it'll clear up when there's an election.
Bill, this was an absolute treat. We thank you so much. We hope that people will read your memoir. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. This was a delight for both of us, and we wish you nothing but the best and continue to keep being you.
Well, you're sweet. So it's Matt and Layla now.
No, Lawrence and Layla. No, we got two L's, Lawrence and Layla. So we're good.
Well, there you are. I like it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. This was wonderful.
That is the great Bill Curtis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.